remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Wow. What a crazy bunch you guys are, man. I love it. It's so funny. Funny being my age looking at it now. But you guys are awesome. Love you so much. But you know what? Steadfast. Today is the last day you're going to hear a message about steadfast. I know. We'll have it probably up on the screen for the next 2 weeks, but once December comes, it's gone. So tonight, I'm doing a message to help you guys stay steadfast in your lives forever, okay? So there's a bit of teaching here. I know it's sometimes a little bit scripture heavy, but it's going to help you keep on track and keep steadfast in God and in your calling and in what God is leading you and wanting you to do in your life, okay? So who saw the storm yesterday? Did anyone see it? This morning I didn't even have people see it. Okay, but don't you love being in a storm and you're actually in your own home? And you're sitting there and then you get up at the window and you're watching the hail, you're watching the rain, you're watching the thunder and the storm and the lightning. It's like, wow, it's so exciting. When we had the kids, they were so scared and we're like, no, it's okay. It's okay. We're in a safe house and we are not going to get hurt no matter what happens. We have got a great foundational house here that's going to keep us safe from that storm. And when you're standing there, you feel so good and so at peace because you know you're safe, don't you? And so this evening, I'm going to be talking about building our spiritual house. Because when we are building the house, we talked about the solid rock of Christ, our firm foundation, and that is what we need to build on. We need to build on that. So my scripture today is Matthew 7, 24 to 27. And it's therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this year. I thank you, Lord, that we've really honed in and we've learned how to be steadfast. And I just pray for every person here today, the Lord God, that they will hear the word that you have for them, Lord God, that will help them, Lord God, in their world and in their walk with you, that, Lord, they will be steadfast in you, building on the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here Jesus is talking about something that they knew in that time. And in that time, there was the Sea of Galilee, and they would go there often. And around the Sea of Galilee, there was like a ring of sand around that sea. It's like a lake, the Sea of Galilee. And what would happen that in the summer, the sand would go as hard as a rock. And people would build their house on that sand, thinking that they would be fine. But yet in the winter time, the storms would come, the floods would come, and that, you know, the houses would not last. But then there were those who would dig deeper, and they would dig deep to about 3 meters down to get the bedrock, and that they would build these houses that were safe. When the wind and the floods came, they were safe. So these people knew what Jesus was talking about. Because if they put, and then he used it as an analogy to say, if you put my words into practice, you're just like those ones who are building down on that rock, and you'll be safe, You'll be fine. You'll be at peace as you've built and you've been wise. You know, when we think of a house, it represents a home. But God isn't just talking, Jesus isn't just talking about our homes. He's talking about our life. He's talking about our lifestyle. Every part of it, it needs to be built in God. It needs to be built with the words of God, if that makes sense. And he's talking here, funnily enough, not to non-Christians. Well, that some of them could be. This could be argued. Because before in his scriptures, he was talking to people. The good fruit and the bad fruit, you can tell them. These were the stories before this because it's a therefore story. Then he started talking about the two paths. One led to life and one was a wide road that led to death. And then by the next one, the ones who did and didn't know Jesus would call upon God. And he was talking about different types of people. And some thought they were Christian, or some thought they were right with God back in those days, and others were definitely right with God because they would build their house on the rock. So everything foolish. Can I have my picture up of my house? Can you see the house? Have you ever done anything foolish? Look, we all can do things that are foolish, right? But as if you're in it habitually. One day when Louis was on a missions trip, I thought, oh, I'm going to really surprise him. I'm going to paint our bedroom nice and do it all up. And so I was doing the edges around the top. And I thought, oh, I'll just stand on the bedside table and I'll reach that bit. And then I was trying to reach. And then I saw these pillows. And I thought, oh, they'll hold me. You're right. Anyway, I fell and I went, whoa, down onto the wardrobe. And the paint went all over me, all over the wardrobe, all over the window, all over the floor. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what the heck am I doing? Now, that's foolish. That would have made a good video, right? But this is what we do. We sometimes just don't think before we do something. And this is what a foolish person is like. They don't think. They really don't understand. You know, the foolish word here used in the scripture in Matthew comes from the word moro. I didn't say it right this morning. It's moro. I had the Greeks coming up to me. they're still coming up to me. It means dull, sluggish. It means baby, would you believe? It's the word for baby. And the word moron comes from this word. So if you're a moron, you will not put God's words into practice, okay? So don't be a moron. Don't be a moron. So what are the characteristics of a moron? Okay, number one. You're always in a hurry. You're very impatient. I'm not pointing the finger anywhere, okay? You always look for, not you, the moron or the foolish man, are always looking for shortcuts. They always want to fix something quickly. And usually things work out really terribly because you're just trying to do a quick fix. You know, I mean, for all those girls out there, I do my hair really quickly. I'll go and think, oh, I hate my hair, so I'll go and buy this cheap product, shove it in my hair, and then I'm like, oh, my gosh, it looks so bad, it goes red, and then I have to go and pay $200 to fix it. You know, we do things that are stupid because we don't, we just rush into things, and we are full of regret. Sometimes we say things in a hurry. I say things in a hurry, and I always regret I have this happen, and I've learned, but still it happens. I'm still trying to change this in my life. We become a Christian, and I was thinking about it this morning, because when I became a Christian, I felt the call to ministry. I thought, man, I just want to serve God. I just want to do everything for God. I want to live for God. I want full-time ministry, all these things. And I was only 20. I just turned 22 when I became a Christian. And I just wanted to hurry. But you know what? God had other plans. And you know, God isn't in a hurry. God is always actually wanting us to take us the slow route. And it's very, character building. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. He wants to build character in us so we don't do things too quickly and we don't make the mistakes and we don't have the regrets. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Now, if you're a new Christian and you're feeling so excited for God, this is what God is saying. He's saying each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. So if you are in a situation, don't just suddenly leave it. You know, when I became a Christian, I was booked in to go to a beautician's school in the city, and I was a bit moronic, and I said, oh, I don't need that anymore, so I bailed out, and I didn't do it. So I didn't end up with something under my belt to make money with in the future. But I didn't go and get advice, as you'll find out soon, that that's what we need to do. I just didn't do anything about it, and I ended up missing out. Okay, so a foolish person doesn't listen to advice. He thinks his ideas are always best. Oh, yeah, I know best. Oh, man, what teenager? Teenagers think that they know everything. I used to. I used to go into the city and argue with the Christians at in Christchurch. We used to have a square, and in the middle of the square, every Friday night, there were the Christians and these weird orange people. I don't know who they were, but the Christians were the ones I used to like arguing with. You know, you just love a good argument. It used to drive them probably nuts. And then I became one, and then now they drive me nuts. I got through the teenage stage okay. But the Proverbs 18:2 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. They are full of excuses. But I can't do that. Oh, yes, but I'm okay. A fool doesn't think things through. Not interested in learning from history, from what other people have done. You know, we've had people who are talking to us about things that they want to do, and we have said, oh, look, we have learnt because of our experience this could happen. Oh, no, but they reject it. They reject that, and they say, no, that can't happen to us. Just because it happened to you, it won't happen to us. You know what? There's nothing new under the sun. The best place to learn is from other people who have done things that you are wanting to do very similar. A foolish person can also be a liar. Watch out. Proverbs 18:6-7. The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. The mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. But you know what? God sees everything. Don't lie. God sees everything that they're doing. So be careful of a foolish person. Don't follow them. Be discerning. Know them by their fruit. If their fruit isn't good, what's happening? What's happening in their life? Dig a bit deeper. Okay, so they are building on sand, these foolish people. They are building on things that are not reliable, and they put their hope in and they think they're okay. They're actually deceiving themselves. They lie to others, but they lie to themselves most, which is not, I was going to say most importantly, but, you know, they do. They lie to themselves first, and then they believe the lie. Job 8:14-15 says, what they trust in is fragile. What they rely on is a spider's web. They lean on the web, but it gives way. They cling to it, but it does not hold. So here are some of the things that they rely on and they put their hope in and they build with. Prosperity. you know, if you're getting blessed, if someone's getting blessed and they say, oh no, I'm fine. God's blessing me. Look at my life. I'm getting all the cash. So God's on my side. Don't be fooled by cash. Hosea 12:8 says, Ephraim boasts, I am very rich. I have become wealthy. With all my wealth, they will not find in me any iniquity or sin. Crazy. That is a lie. That is a lie to people that think that they're going to be okay if they think that God is blessing them financially and that's going to get them to heaven. Okay? Religion, their profession of Christianity or their profession of their religion. You know, in Matthew 6, it talks about hypocrites. They give, they pray, they fast, but they do it out in the open. They tell everybody what they're doing. They say, I pray 5 times a day. I fast. I do this. I read my Bible. You know, I give to the poor. I'm such a great person. Don't I look spiritual? Like, no. It's ick. You know, sometimes we see things on Instagram and on all these different platforms and people trying to prove themselves, showing people what they're doing spiritually because really they're actually quite insecure and they want people to know that they're okay spiritually, but really they're not. They're very deceived. And so if you're thinking, oh, you know, I might do that. Look, I don't want to make you feel bad. But sometimes let other people raise you up, where other people say, oh, isn't this person great? Isn't this person doing well? Don't try and lift yourself up beyond above people and say, hey, look at me, I'm doing this, because it sometimes is a bit, you know, oh, okay, that's nice, but maybe God wants us to do it behind closed doors because that is where the blessing is, the prayer, the fasting, the giving. God says do it behind closed doors. Amen? Okay, good works. It kind of entangles with religious profession of religion or Christianity. But, you know, they'll think, oh, I'm not a murderer. I'm a good person. I give to the Red Cross. I go down and I volunteer at, you know, the homeless shelter. Or, you know, I'm coming to church and I'm serving on the roster. You know, I think, you know, we need to be careful as Christians. We can't just think, oh, I'm okay with God because I'm doing what I'm meant to do on that roster. Or I'm doing this or I'm doing that or I'm doing that. It's not about doing. It's about faith. It's by faith we are saved through grace. Not by works, so that anyone can boast. We cannot boast about anything we do. Well, everything we do by the grace of God. You know, we don't want to be boasters because it's all to God's glory what we do. All to God's glory. You know, but this does make a fool feel good. Oh, I've done this, so I must be right with God. But it's just sand. They're just going to sink. They're just going to, when the storm comes, when the rain comes, when those hard times come, they're going to wonder where God is because I've never really built on Christ, the solid rock, you know? They also build on false teaching. I know I probably talked about this last time I spoke to you, but it's such a big thing in our society where we are bombarded with stuff on, you know, social media platforms, and there's just so much weird doctrine out there, weird prophets and people that just want to tell you their opinion about God and their opinion about this, and sometimes you're just flicking and you just think, get out. I don't want to hear it. I'd rather hear a joke. Give me a joke any day. I like a good laugh, you know? But it's true, though. They love to get their ears tickled about, like, you know, the next revelation or new revelation or, you know, like, it's not about Jesus anymore. It's about, I don't know, this Messiah dude over here, you know, and Jesus thinks he's okay. I don't know. These weird things that people say. We've heard some weird stuff on our time, you know. We've met a few people that thought they were Jesus. And Yeah, it's crazy. But they weren't. Just saying. We didn't believe them. We'd built our foundations on the right things. Okay. So that's, well, I think we've heard enough about the foolish. We've heard enough. But you know what? Some of us, we can fall into these things, and it's okay, but I'm going to help you put things in your life that will help you not be foolish, that you'll be able to have the victory, you'll be able to stand firm in God, and you'll be able to know the will of God for your life, okay? So, let me see my wise house. Oh, there's my wise house. Yeah, it's on the rock. Yep, it's a very strong house. I don't know how they get to it, but it's a very strong house. So wise. What's the characteristics of a wise person? Well, it's probably the opposite to what I just said. They don't rush into anything. They don't rush. And, you know, rushing. But they don't take all their life either. Okay, just saying. They do things. They do step out in faith, but they don't rush. They don't rush and think, okay, I'm called to ministry. Like, I thought I was called to ministry. And then I just like, oh, God, where is it? What am I doing? You know, and then we had to go through a series of issues and things. But it was all for our character building. It was great. Well, not great back then, but it was great now. Don't rush into things. You seek instruction. You listen to advice. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. They care about what the Bible says, not false teachers and the latest thing that's on the socials. They will go to the Word. Like, you know, this is a good thing about being in a community of believers. And say if you did think, oh, wonder what that, you know, you hear a false teaching. You're not sure. You might think it's okay because you don't know the Bible yet. There's some people that don't know everything in the Bible yet. So you bring it to your connect group. You bring it to your leaders. You say, oh, what do you think of what I've just learned? What do you think of that? You know, ask for advice. That's why we're in community. We, you know, we glean off each other. We help each other. We sharpen each other. And so if you are thinking, oh, I'm not too sure about that, take it to someone. Don't just try and struggle with it on your own. So the wise man doesn't just know the Word, doesn't just say they're a Christian, doesn't just turn up at church to do the roster or say, I'm looking good because I'm at church, but they actually put the Word of God to practice in their life. James 1:22-25 says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You'll always be blessed in what you do when you've looked intently into what God wants. And some of you may think, gee, how do I really know? How do I really know what God wants? Say you're thinking, maybe I don't even know if I'm wise or not. Especially when you're young in the Lord, I didn't know anything when I came to Christianity. I just started just feeding on the Word and getting into everything. And then I saw this scripture in James 1:5, that it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So you ask God for that wisdom, and he will give it to you. And you wonder how he's going to do it. Sometimes He uses circumstances to give you wisdom. So you have to look at more into the word. You know, you have to look more into getting advice and help from others. But, you know, there's sometimes things we're really not sure about. And I've got five things that'll help you understand the will of God for your life. And maybe circumstances that you are trying to work out right now. Or maybe, you know, you're thinking of moving, you're thinking of ministry, you're thinking of a new job, you're thinking of, I don't know, a career change. You're thinking about these things and think, how do I know if God is in this? And as an example, this is a story I shared this morning. Louis and I, we moved out to South Wente back in 92. And we were young married, and we were out there and we started thinking, gosh, Lord, it'd be so good to have a church out west, wouldn't it? It'd be so good to have a church out west. We didn't have to drive into Petersham. We used to go to Petersham AOG, which is Revive now, and we used to go back and forth, and, you know, then we started having babies, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, and I know some of you travel, and I love how you do that, and we started thinking, gee, wouldn't it be good to have a Western Sydney church where we can just bring our friends, our neighbours, and to tell them about Jesus, because we didn't expect them to go all the way to Petersham, and so we started asking and talking and praying. We started praying and we started, we went and asked some pastors and talked to them about it. They like had no idea of, you know, really. They didn't have that on their heart. We wanted advice, but they really, I can't even remember what advice they gave us, but we did seek out advice. And then we just waited and we prayed. And then one day we had some pastors move out, this Maori pastor and his wife, and we were like, oh, okay, praise God. They could start this church. They were from Petersham. We weren't pastors back then, and we knew that we couldn't do this on our own. We needed pastors to pastor this church. And so we said, hey, what do you think? And anyway, next minute they end up flying to New Zealand and living there. And they moved to New Zealand with, oh, well, that was a lead balloon. That was a bit of excitement, but it didn't happen. And then over time, we're just praying. We didn't feel to leave our church. And then another couple moved out, and he was the associate pastor at the time, Tom, and his wife, Imogen. And we were good friends with them, and he moved out to South Wente. Like, awesome. I wonder what God's doing. And anyway, they ring us one day and they said, hey, what do you think? You know, we're thinking of this church. We would love to start a church out here. And then it's history now. Now we have a church out there, out here. And we've been here for 26 years. Praise God, that is this church. Praise God. But 1992... is when we started thinking about it. We didn't plant a church to 1999, October 1999. So it took about 7 years before we ended up with a church out west, and we just waited. We didn't rush. We didn't go on ahead and go, oh, me and Louis are just going to go ahead and do it on our own. You know what? I tell you what, if we did, we probably wouldn't have this church here. We probably would have failed and probably would have just had to walk back home to Petersham, so it didn't work. What were we doing? But this is how God works. And it started with number one. These are the five things. If you are unsure, these are five things that will help you keep in step with the Spirit of God in your life and doing the will of God. I'm just going to have a drink. Number one, you get a thought and a conviction in your heart. It's like, oh, gee, I have such a conviction to maybe help those people in the nursing home. You know, maybe I want to help those people at school do this or that. I don't know what it would be. We had a conviction of having a church out here. It was like so on our hearts. We just wanted to have a church out here. Gee, it'd be great, Lord. What, you know, how am I going to go around that? Start praying. And so you pray, you have conviction. You know, it kept nagging us. It keeps nagging you. But yet, that's not enough to act on it. Is it scriptural? Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful to teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So go to the Word of God because it will equip you, it will lead you. Were we being scriptural? Yes. It says go into all the nations, go into your neighbours, go everywhere and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. That was a scriptural thing. That was our heart. That's what we wanted. And, you know, maybe God does want you to be merciful to those who need mercy. Maybe God wants you to just serve in an area. Maybe, you know, who knows what it is. But if that isn't enough and you think, okay, God, sometimes it's not enough, you need to discuss it. You need it to discuss it with people who have done the journey, and also you can discuss it with your peers because sometimes they know you really well and sometimes they will say something and it could be a red flag, that could be a warning. Hey, be sure that you're going to do this. Be careful. This might happen. You know, seek advice. We belong to a community of people for a reason. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds and love. So if someone comes to you in your group, says, hey, what do you think of this? That sounds like a really good deed. That sounds like, you know, God's in it. What do you think? You know, just talk about it. Not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Some of us just leave. You know, they don't get the advice. They don't get the help of the community. And then they fail because they've gone out on a limb on their own. We need to be careful. God places us in our communities for a reason. It's God's will. We find our spiritual home in church so we can learn and grow together. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Louis and I have lived on this. I mean, I remember once Louis was offered, he was about to be offered a position to go to Singapore for a job, and we're like, oh, wow, that sounds amazing, you know, going to Singapore. And, that was not the will of God. That was not the will of God. And then another time, I think we had just become the senior pastors here. We went to Bali for a holiday. We went to a church there, and these pastors took us out for lunch, asked us if we'd like to take on the church in Bali because they wanted to retire. We're like, oh, we've just taken on another church. And we had to like, God, what? How can you put this temptation in our way? Anyway, we knew it wasn't God. We said, talk to us in 10 years. I don't know, but it's been 15, so maybe not. Maybe not church in Bali. But, you know, these things happen and you ask advice, you seek God for it, you know. And then number four, God opens the door or closes it. Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. If the door is open, the advice is good, the discussions have been great, everything lines up with the Word of God, the conviction. It's pretty good. But there's one more thing. Peace of God. Isaiah 26:3. You'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Make sure you're being led by the peace of God. If there is no peace, do not do it. It may even sound great, but if you do not have that peace, do not do it. So it's conviction, scripture, advice, door open or shut, and peace. Be led by those things. So why don't you stand this evening? So what have we learned? We've basically learned you've got to build your house on God's word, God's ways, and you'll succeed. You'll be safe. You'll be safe from those storms, and you'll have peace. You know, Jesus is our rock. And this is our scripture that we have had for the whole year. And it's about our rock, Jesus. It says, Psalm 62, 1-2. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my God and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. We'll never be shaken if Jesus is our rock, people, and if we build our lives on His word. And look, if you today have thought, far out, that is not me. I haven't been building my life in the word of God. I don't even know all of the word of God. You don't need to know all of it. Just start somewhere. Start absorbing it into your life. Start reading it. Start listening to it. Study it. Get into a connect group. Grow in it. And you'll start building yourself up, on the rock. And nothing will move you from God. When those hard times come, when people pass in your life, when the finances go, when the family leaves, you'll be okay because you'll be with Christ and He will hold you tight. Amen. Look, if you don't know Jesus tonight and you'd like to give your life to Him, and you'd think, wow, I want that for my life, I want to encourage you to say this prayer after me. And don't just say it like mere words, like a person who is foolish. Say it and mean it with your heart. And this prayer is a prayer of dedicating your life to God from this moment. So why don't we close our eyes and bow our heads as we pray, and we will pray together as a church family. Dear Father, thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You that He died and rose from the dead for me. Please forgive me of my sin. I commit my life to You.